KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the KFSR Fresno State Sports Report. I'm your host, Eddie Hughes, along with my co-host, a very popular man in town, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Good morning, Jim, and thanks for leaping into this new adventure with me.
Honored to be here. I'm your first show, so everybody else must have said no to it, so I'm like, you got stuck with me, so honored to be here.
Quite the contrary. You're the star of this whole thing. Since this is a brand new show, we wanted to start out and share a little bit about our background with you. Again, I'm Eddie Hughes, and most people around campus know me as the editor of Fresno State Magazine. Fresno State Magazine's the university's alumni and friends publication, comes out twice a year, so we're working on those issues right now. We like to highlight student success, and part of that is the rise of academics and athletics, and that's a lot of what we'll talk about here, too, on this show, with a little bit more of a sports flavor. Sports for me was the window that I first got introduced to the university, you know, at the Hughes household growing up. Parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, we were all tailgating, going to football games. And I think out there in the community, that's a popular thing. I know President Castro even told me he first learned about Fresno State through the 1983 NIT when Boyd Grant was the coach here. And he was watching on, I think he said, a black and white TV back home in Hanford. And that was his first exposure to the university. Yeah. So I think sports can be a great window in that way. And for me, I grew up dreaming of playing football or baseball at Fresno State. Unfortunately, there's not a big demand for a 5'9" offensive lineman. But
he's this year. You never know. Don't give up.
Yeah, we all have to check on that eligibility clock. But I think you guys have some people who can do that. That said, I attended Fresno State, loved every minute of it, graduated in 2005 from Mass Communication and Journalism Department. Took me about 8 years to get back here with the full-time job, but I'm here now as part of University Communications, as I mentioned. KFSR station manager Julie Logan approached me with this idea of creating this new sports report for KFSR, and now I'm privileged that you're my co-host, Jim Bartko. You really need no introduction since arriving in town in November 2014. Thanks again for agreeing to co-host the program. Please share a little bit about yourself, your background, where you came from, and what brought you to Fresno State.
Great question. First of all, it's been about a year since I've been here. I got offered the job in November of that year. I think my first day on the job was January 20th, I think, Oregon. We just finished up losing Ohio State in the championship game, and I had that two-week window to get kind of packed and moved from Eugene, and family stayed up in Oregon until my son graduated from high school, and I'm honored to be here. I grew up in the Valley. I'm a Valley person. I still have aunts and uncles in Manteca. My mom and dad were born and raised in Ripon and, you know, Stockton. So for me, it was coming home. I had a great time in Oregon, 26 years at the University of Oregon, a couple years at Washington State, a couple years at Cal. But when I got the call, would I be interested in this position? It was like, come home. And, you know, I did my deal at Oregon. I was a part of something very special there that helped a small team member for the university to build that program. And now is a chance to kind of work with Dr. Castro and make Fresno special. It's already a special and get the fans and students active. And we had some great visions here. And now we just got to kind of get this first year going. Yeah, it's a football season. No one told me you'd be 3-9 your first year, but Tim made some changes in his football staff, and we're going to get it going and make this place good.
Now, I know we've talked before in private about some of the similarities between Fresno State and Oregon, the way the football program and the overall sports program at Oregon's really sort of boomed during your time there. Talk about some of those similarities.
Well, it's funny because that was one of the things when this job opened. It's kind of like when I got to Oregon in 1988, first year I started there, Oregon was probably the bottom of the Pac-12, and the facilities weren't very good. Great passion in the community, a long history of people very supportive of the program, but we weren't at the top. And people kept thinking, was the Oregon Beavers, the Oregon State Ducks, or what are you? Are you going to be in the league anymore? Are they going to dump you guys? But then there's a vision. We were very fortunate to have an AD at that time, Bill Byrne, who went on to Nebraska and A&M. That was a leader. And, you know, obviously Phil Knight got involved in the early 90s and gave us some kind of a breath of fresh air. Say he'll support us, but he just wanted to be average. And that's my whole thing here. As long as everybody here believes that academics and athletics can rise together, and you don't accept mediocrity, try to academics to be number one and athletics to be number one. And if we can all just shoot for that, our fans will support it. There is similarities. I think football stadiums, if you took the footprint of Watson Stadium 15 years ago and put the same footprint of Bulldog Stadium, it's the same footprint. We made changes at Oregon because it had to, and which we're going to do here at Fresno also because it has to be done. But there's some great things going on here. Again, we're fortunate to have one of the great presidents, I think, around, and our cabinet's very supportive, and our fan base is very loyal. Now we just need to put something in place and get this last season, this next season, and, you know, go forward and try to be the best. Have fun doing it.
You addressed some of the challenges, you know, early on with a 3-9 football season, which you weren't necessarily expecting. I don't think the Red Wave was expecting it either. But at the same time, how nice is it to know academically the student athletes, I think, was it a 3.12 GPA?
Best ever. their time in the communities, the most hours in the Mountain West Conference. Football's going to have its ebbs and flows. You're going to have ups and downs. We still were third in the league in attendance, even with a bad season. We've been first the last couple years before this, so our fans are there. We made some changes, which are never easy, but we're going to get it done.
What do you want fans to know as far as what your expectations are for the programs that cross the board?
Fans and students, and I'll say this to fans and students, we need their support. We need to make sure they know that we care. My first 6 months, without the family here, I just went to every town, whether it was Firebaugh or Chowchilla or Tulare or Bakersfield, Manteca, Ripon, went all around because our Lover fans hadn't been seen forever. They were just taken for granted. But we've got to know them and make sure they feel important. And if we can get an academic gift out of them, or even give them $500, they need to know that we care. We care. We need them. We need everybody involved. We can't just have 30 or 40 do everything. We need everybody to buy tickets. We need everybody to come. We need the student section packed. And we'll get there. It won't change overnight. That's what we got to figure out.
You know, I think it's an interesting topic. You hear a lot. People talk about what comes first, the whole chicken and the egg argument. Do the fans need to come out and ramp up their support? Do the teams need to win first to get the fans interested?
Great question.
How do you see kind of that whole cycle?
I think we have fans that are very supportive no matter what happens. The winning will bring the other 20%. So I think our fans have come, even last year when we had some tough games. The last couple of games we were kind of done on Thanksgiving weekend. It was kind of a struggle, but I think we're very supportive of our fans. If those 80% know we're going to have success and they're going to be there, the other 20 will come when we win. We have some new coaches on board now, and it's not just football. We have women's basketball. We have wrestling water polo coming on. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Tennis has had a great start of the season. You know, a few weeks ago, they were out at the Sweet 16. First time in a long time they've done that. They have a chance to win the conference. Our softball team won the conference last year. Baseball's picked the top three this year in their league. So we have a chance to have a great, really good spring. You know, track's right there, and swimming and diving wrapped up last week. So we have a chance to do some special things. So it's just our coaches need to know that we're going to invest what we can, but then we expect out of them, graduate, kids involved, stay out of the paper, and compete for championships.
Stay out of the paper for the batteries.
For the batteries. You have kids get in trouble, but our goal should be never be in the paper, graduate, and compete for championships.
Talking about one of the special things we can do here, I know the thing that got the community probably the most excited when you first came aboard was the talk about Bulldog Stadium renovation.
Yep.
And it's not necessarily an expansion, but we're talking about some amenities like seating and ramps and walkways, you know, less stairs to walk up. I know that's been a big complaint over the year, restrooms, concessions. Talk about, with the challenging football season we're coming off of, has that changed the vision at all for the stadium?
Hasn't even slowed down. First of all, the stadium needs to get done. It's 32 years old. You have one football season, that stadium's going to be for 50 more years. We know we have to do it. It's like an old house. If you don't fix the water heaters and the flooring, the concrete, or you know the dishwasher, it's going to break down. And some of our fans now won't come to games because it's hard to walk up the stairs. The restrooms aren't compatible. We've got to do it, and our fans know that. So we've got some good early on commitments already from our donors to get us over the hump to get started. We'll have to phase it in. We have to get the chance to approval to approve it first. That'll take us a few more months, but we're going to start fundraising now, go with some money, show that, and I think it'll get done. But bottom line is it's not one football season. I think our fans know it. You're going to have ups and downs. If Texas can go 5-7, Fresno can go 3-9 at some point. But we just can't make that the norm.
How close are we to an announcement on funding or naming or anything like that? Is that already in the works?
The hope would be in July, we'll do phase one, which is the fencing and the branding. And then if everything goes right, a year from now, we'll do phase two, which will be concourse, restrooms, concessions, ramps, cross aisles. And then phase three will be the skybox and press box. So if it all goes right and we get the commitments that we have to do, we'll be fine. I think in the next 2 months, we'll get that numbers, go to the state board probably in May. If we can get everything done, we'll start breaking ground in January.
When you talk about fundraising on this scale, I know we've heard numbers around $80 million. I don't know if that's changed, but capital campaign that you have to organize, how does that planning work?
You know, you've got to get, I think $50 million is what we're going to be shooting for construction-wise, and you have other costs, fees, and bonding to about $70 to $80 million. But 50 is kind of our budget for building the first three phases. If we want to do phase four, which is the football building, that'll be on top of that. That's not what we need right away. We need to get the stadium done first. We have some work to do on that, but you know it'll get done. And we added a facility fee to our tickets this year. We had $2 every ticket. One thing I don't want to do, and one of our top donors at Oregon always told me, I'm going to give you a lot of money, but I want everybody to have a skin in the game. So every single fan, whether it's $1 a year or $2 a year or $5 a year or $100 a year, everyone needs to contribute. Just don't have five guys doing everything. We added a little $2 facility fee on at Oregon, and that money goes to stadium improvements. So everybody, when they buy the ticket for $12, it's going to be $14 now. But two of us can go to the stadium.
So there's a separate account, separate funds set up for those monies.
Facility improvements. So it'll go ticket revenue, which we're not going to change. That way everybody can say, you know, I bought 8 tickets this year. It cost me $16 more, but that's going to go to the stadium and I'm helping out. We can't get it done without that kind of support.
What type of response have you heard from the fans so far about the vision?
Very positive. I mean, you had some hiccups and the season was kind of, you always want to open a stadium project with a 12-2 season and a big bowl win. So it's not the perfect scenario, the tough season, but we have faith in Tim and the coaches you brought in are phenomenal. So we're going to get it done and people haven't wavered, the commitments haven't wavered and you just kind of, it's just all timing. We'll be fine.
And I know we're just about a week or so removed from National Signing Day,
yep.
Which it's National Signing Day for multiple sports, mm-hmm. but football is kind of the one that gets the big national coverage these days. Yeah. How do you think it went for the Bulldogs this year?
People always ask me that too at Oregon. You won't know for 2 years. We got a lot of kids that changed their minds to come here at the end. They had some big time schools offering them. And you look on paper, they look great. But Marcus Mariota at Oregon was a 2-star quarterback that nobody wanted. Now he's the number one draft choice and the Heisman Trophy winner. So you want to have some of those guys that maybe weren't highly touted, but our coach did a great job, and Coach Keesaw and Miami came in with their staffs and got some guys to come over. You won't really know how they turn out for a year or two, and we'll have a better feel. But knock on wood, we're highly ranked in our conference, and I think we got some guys that are going to contribute right away that'll play. And I think they see that they have the opportunity. And we have a lot of guys last year that played with the injuries that we didn't, you know, expect, and they had some injuries, so they're going to have a half a season under their belts as freshmen and sophomores. So we'll be deeper next year with guys coming back. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they all, and Joe Bernardi, our new tight end coach who played here, if we can bundle him up in a jar and have him be the, you know, the spirit behind the Bulldog passion, he'll sell anything to anybody. He loves this place. He played here and he was an overachiever offensive lineman and all conference, and he's going to add a lot of fire to that program and maybe at a recruit and just being a former player. Great to have him, and I knew him at Oregon. He was just a great asset to us over there. And having these coaches all want to come here. All those guys had opportunities to go to other places, but they chose to come to Fresno State. And that means a lot to all of us.
Joe Bernardi, he's a fun one to listen to. You know, having watched him play here, hearing what he's saying as a coach now, you talked about bottling up the energy he has, almost like a salesman type for the Valley, really, for what's great about the Valley, what's great about the Fresno State program. What do you think he brings to the table as far as his appeal locally?
Well, I think, first of all, he was an overachiever when he played here. I mean, he wasn't highly recruited. He had some injuries, but he never gave up. Inspirational. He's a Bulldog through and through. I remember he called me the night before they played, Oregon played, TCU in the Alamo Bowl this year, and he goes, we were down the wire, I wasn't going to come, and he goes, hey, if I get the job, I'm going to be in my car tomorrow from San Antonio. I'm driving. I'll be there tomorrow morning, ready to work. I don't care what you pay me. I want to be a Bulldog. And he can tell it to the athletes. What Fresno State did to him as a person, academically, athletically, gave him the opportunity. What the community needs, he won't let guys, you know, slack. If you're not fired up or ready to play, he'll let you know. And I think that passion, fire, being a Bulldog is going to help a lot.
Going back to recruiting a little bit, from your position as athletics director, you've got a lot of sports to oversee, a lot of day-to-day duties to take care of, people to meet with. Do you actually sit back and watch the recruits? Do you watch film and things like that? What level do you get into that?
I go online. I'll look them up. But you really can't. I mean, because, you know, what do I know? I mean, I can watch them. I might go up occasionally and watch coach have film on, but I get to meet a lot of them. I'll go to coach's house on a Friday night or Saturday night when they have all the recruits there and talk to the parents. My biggest thing that I can help out, or we as a department can help out with, is letting the parents know when they drop their kid off, whether it's a swimmer or a golfer, that we're now their parents. I mean, we're their pseudo parents for 4 years. You got to have faith in us that we're going to take good care of them, make sure they go to class, and you can trust that they're going to be well taken care of. Now, whether or not they're going to be an All-American football player, can't decide that. I have a son that was now in college. Now I want to know when he goes to school there that they care about him. And that's what I can do the most, is make sure they know that we're going to give them the resources with training table, cost of tuition, tutoring, classes. We're going to give them the first class, whatever they can do, and get them that degree. That's what breaking down film, heck, you know, those coaches are so much smarter than I am that, you know.
Does that help, though, being a parent who just had his son go off to college? Loyola Marymount, right?
Yeah. I think it does. When I talk to parents, I say, hey, I know what you're going through. I mean, it goes so fast. We all know as parents, that time when they're 2-3 years old, suddenly you're dumping off at a dorm, kind of going, see you, buddy, you know, take care. Parents kind of, they look at us kind of going, is he going to be okay? Or she going to be okay? And if we can just say, we know what they're about. If there's problems, we'll help you take care of them. If they have issues, the door's always open. They'll have my cell phone number. They'll have the coach's cell phone number. And we're going to make sure that we give them the best. Very few kids go pro. Very few. But they all can get a degree. And that's what we have to strive for.
I think that's a perfect transition into our next topic. The women's tennis team, they've had some big wins recently. At Fresno State Magazine, we just did a story on Ryan Stotlin, the head coach. And I think it was last semester, he had 4 of his 8 girls on the team finish with a 4.0 GPA. Yep. Pretty amazing. 50% of your team doing that. Talk about that program in specific and the emphasis they put on winning and on winning in the classroom.
Wow. I'll tell you, tennis around the nation is tough. And when you're at Fresno State, you can be in the top 30 in the country, and you can be at a number 9 UCLA and number 15 or 18 Arkansas. And, you know, we had a tough time. We went up to Texas Tech when they were ranked 16th and lost 4-3. And with a good showing last week at Madison, he's built a good program. And that's what we want to have all the coaches do. It shouldn't just be women's tennis or softball or baseball or golf. Or every program ought to compete. My expectations are we go in every season with a chance to win the conference championship and graduate. And Ryan's done a phenomenal job. We just resurfaced the courts. And one of the things that Dr. Castro was very helpful with is the track and tennis courts were not up to par at all. And we resurfaced them because they had holes and divots and cracks. And some schools wouldn't place here because they were afraid of injuries. They're all resurfaced in the track now. We can even run the track, and now it's being resurfaced. If we're going to have a sport, we're going to do it the right way. Got to do the right way. Or don't have it. I mean, you can't have a program and say you can't run on the track because it's not runnable. Go run the streets and then say you're a Division I program. So we're going to work our tail off to make sure we do it the right way. Before we had wrestling and water polo, the current sports we have are taken care of financially and facility-wise.
And you alluded to it a little bit with the tracks getting a facelift right now in Warmerdam Field. Yep. It's been decades since that's happened. You've got tennis with their new playing surface.
The North Gym got resurfaced and, yeah. So a lot of things going on.
And then there's the new physical therapy and intercollegiate athletics building. Yep. Talk about that and what a difference that's made.
Well, that was something that was started well before I got here. So kudos to Debbie A. Stone and Dr. Castro and the physical therapy group because it's a shared building. They're on the first floor and second floor. But that houses both basketballs, volleyball, and softball, and just makes better offices. The only negative that I see since I've been here is that we're not together in one building. You know, Oregon, I can walk down the hall and see 19 sports. Here you've got North Gym, South Gym, baseball over there, and but this building now gets you your four sports with swimming all together. And so just now, Matt, it's still not very far away, but they have first-class facilities. And again, you need to have first-class facilities and first-class academics. Kids want to go somewhere where they can excel and be the best they can be and have a chance to win. And if they don't have good facility or good weight room or good tutoring, you know, they can go a lot of different places that can give them better. Right now, we're almost to the point where we're right where we need to be.
Fresno State's got how many sports now?
Well, it'll be 21 with wrestling and water polo.
Which is the next thing I wanted to ask about. You know, a lot of people are excited about that, too. Adding wrestling back for the first time since, I believe, 2006. Women's water polo, new program that we haven't had before. Yep. What goes into starting these these programs?
Well, it was going on probably 2 years before I got here. And then Dr. Cash and I spoke when I first got here about timing. People keep thinking, hey, you should have started the day after you got here and got it going. But you got to get conferences. You got to get places for them to compete. You got to get practice gyms. You got to get coaches. You got to get the fundraising done. You got to start recruiting. So we spent the last year working on all that. And in the next day or two, we should have the announcement of go public with the search for the coaches. We want to have the coaches on both of them, the NCAAs, and end of March, early April for both those programs. So our hope is that we can get a coach from one of those teams that are in the NCAAs, and they'll be here in April. Signing day for them is November 11th. So the hope is that we can get somebody on board, head coach, in March or April. Hire their assistants, you know, May or June. Start recruiting all summer, and then have the first class the following July.
What do you look for in a coach? You're looking at people already in successful programs, maybe as an assistant.
Perfect scenario for me. You have an assistant coach from a top 10 program, and their assistant's a Valley guy. And this is wrestling side that has the connections to the schools in this area, and you can have a person, maybe the head coach should be someone that was born and raised in the area. But Fresno, or the Valley, I should say, is a passionate wrestling community. And if we can keep 1/3 of the kids in town, we can compete right away. First of all, very few schools actually add programs nowadays. They're usually dropping programs. It's expensive. A lot of schools are dropping with Title IX and resources. We'll have 21 programs here, which is probably more than any school in the conference. So when you're adding two sports, the head coaches of those two programs that started up the right way are critical. You can't make an error, because if they fail, you're never going to add any more sports. And rest around the country is being dropped by a lot of schools. So there's a lot of talk in the country about who this coach is going to be, because if we can show success for wrestling, other schools will bring it back also. So we're going to be kind of one of those, instead of dropping it, we're adding it. And water polo is the same way. And we have a chance to get somebody very good. If they can have some Valley ties, great. If they know how to start a program, great. But we're going to spend the next 3 months finding the right fit for what's best for Fresno State. I mean, what's best is Valley and water polo also. So we'll have the wrestling coach hired first, because water polo ends about a month later. And then, but they'll both be here. And, you know, come November 11th is signing day, and it'll be time. So
it seems like you've got a lot on your plate. You know, you're talking about adding two new programs, 21 total at Fresno State. At the same time, there's all this other budget stuff going on where you're paying more for cost of attendance. You're trying to renovate stadiums and other facilities. How tough is it to put all those things together and still grow?
I didn't think about it much in the first 6 to 8 months. Football season was kind of had a tough year. Started thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we need to count on that program to be great, but you can't worry about it. such good people here. We have a great staff, a great university, and you got to have a vision, and you're going to have ups and downs, and you can't let one down wreck your whole time. So we're going to keep plugging away, and failure is not in our mindset. There's challenges, but the challenge is an opportunity, and that's our goal.
And I think it's important also for the community to know, we're talking about privately funded projects. Bulldog Stadium, that's a privately funded project. Yep. Talk about what it takes to make that happen and what type of commitment from the community and trust needs to go into that.
Well, first and foremost, our fans need to understand buying tickets is also a commitment. There's no reason we can't get 35, 36,000 fans at that stadium. And the tickets are, compared to a lot of schools, are pretty cheap. So everybody out there, we need the students in full force, but we also need our fans. If everybody bought one more ticket for $100 a season, we'd be sold out.
And we're not talking about just football. We've got women's and men's basketball right now are right in the thick of the conference races. How important is it for the Red Wave to come out to those sports as well?
It's huge. Players need the support. You know, women's basketball got off to 8-0 start. They had a little rocky last game, and we're going to be battling there for the conference championship. And then we go to the Mountain West, and our men's team has a chance to win. I mean, just like most teams in the league, you can beat anybody any day and you can lose anybody any day. So we get the tournament in Las Vegas in a month or so. You get on a 3-game win streak and you're in the NCAAs. And it'd be a huge lift for all of us, for both those programs. So the kids need to understand that. And every season's going to have their ups and downs. And you know, the loss to San Jose a few weeks ago or 10 days ago was a tough one. Probably should have won that game. But we're going to win some games that we weren't supposed to win either. You just got to balance out the ups and downs.
That's part of the whole learning process of college athletics, the overcoming adversity.
Yep. I remember our coach at Oregon, I remember a year ago when I was there, first game on the road, and he just said, hey, you're 5-0 now, but you're going to lose three games in a row at some point. The character that you have, how are you going to handle that fourth game after you lose three in a row? Because this is going to happen. Any good team, you're going to have a little bad weekend. Do you bounce back or do you give up? That'll define your character. And our teams need to know that, whether it's tennis or golf or soccer or lacrosse or swimming. When you have a tough time, it's how do you bounce back and how do you overcome adversity and how do you get better without giving up and being a negative, you know, asset to the program. So
you mentioned that, you know, with basketball, men's and women's this year, any given game, Fresno State's capable of winning on their schedules. What do you think it takes to get to that next level where those programs are both going to the NCAA tournament, you know, or have a good shot to each year? I know the women's team's done it seven of the past 8 years.
Yep.
Men's teams hasn't been for quite a while.
Great question. You've got to have kids that believe. You've got to have cohesive unit. You got to have good recruits. And the players need to understand that you can't just show up to win. You got to play hard every day. There's a fine line between being 7-2 and 5-5 or 5-4. You've got to not give up. You got to be prepared and showing the fire and the spirit to get it done the right way. And men's basketball, just I think they just need to believe in themselves and understand how good they can be if they just, but they've got to play every day. And you can't come out flat. You can't come out, you know, you beat UNLV and, you almost beat San Diego State. You had Arizona almost. You're just down a few shots here and there. Every possession counts.
Is this a school that is capable of having a perennial winning basketball program?
Absolutely. We've done it before. So it's just not a matter of getting, I think Rodney's done a great job. He took over. He had to build some things, get reshuffle a lot of the players. But this is a basketball community. And if we win, people come out. And so we just got to get the players to believe it and get over that hump. We have to get over that hump. There's that hump we just haven't been able to get. Like Wyoming won the Mountain West last year, and they were like the sixth seed, and they went to the NCAAs. We need something like that. We need a signature win. We need to, you know, beat San Diego State on the road, or we went to UNLV and beat them on the road. That was a big win. We got to go to the tournament, get to the finals, and have a chance. Be one win away from the NCAAs. We need that.
Hopefully next time we get together, we can talk about
Absolutely. The
wins that we did get.
Yep.
Looks like it's about time to wrap things up for our first episode. So many thanks to Jim Bartko for co-hosting and giving us all the inside information on what's happening in sports at Fresno State. And thanks to you for listening, for joining our first show. Please tune in again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for another Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.